Hello, my name is Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Once again, we're glad that you have joined us tonight in the household of the Lord. Pray tonight will be a great encouragement in your Christian faith. Amen? Amen. Bethlehem! Oh, that sounds good. Let's do that again. Bethlehem! Amen. To know him, which is our theme, to which we're coming to the end of our 2011 theme, to which this year we resolved to know him. We want to know the fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection. We want to set an example. And this last month we've been dealing with that example as Paul challenged us through the Word of God, Philippians chapter 3:17, to live as we do. It says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Who live as we do. He had enough spiritual gumption to say that I'm modeling this Christian faith and I want you to live as we do. Can you say that today to your children, to your wife, to your neighbors? Live as we do, or live as I do. And we are praying that if not today, someday you'll be able to say, live as we do. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're continuing in this series, and we're going to talk about tonight a model of Christmas faithfulness. A model of Christmas faithfulness. We're going to be looking at tonight Luke chapter 1 verses 5 through 7 and verse 23 through 25. Luke chapter 1 verses 5 through 7, 23 through 25. It's two slides. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three. Amen. And praise the Lord. Tonight again, we're talking about a model of Christmas faithfulness. A model of Christmas faithfulness. And tonight we're going to talk about the righteousness of Christian or Christmas faithfulness, the rottenness of Christmas faithfulness, and the rejoicing of Christmas faithfulness. We want Christians to know tonight that you should be faithful to God. You should be faithful to God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, are you faithful?
Are you faithful?
Say to your other neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor,
or neighbor, Are you faithful? Tonight would be probably best described, for lack of a better term, the night before Christmas. Many of us have grown up with that story, which is entitled A Visit from St. Nick. We know the story that it was the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The Hood version says, not even a rat. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled and snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums, new version, visions of PlayStations dance in their heads. And we know this little story, and it's fond of it, and many of us grew up on it, and it puts us in the mind of Christmas, but really, this is not the true Christmas story. And if there was a night before Christmas, or a story that we could tell in that regard, it would be the story about these two faithful people in the text. Luke chapter 1, before he gets into the story of Christ's coming, he tells the story about Zacharias and Elizabeth, two faithful people who served the Lord faithfully. They served the Lord faithfully, regardless of their own mishaps, regardless of their own probably misunderstandings with God. They served God faithfully and earned this title of being blameless, It's the same title that Job got in the Old Testament, that he was blameless, and the story before Jesus is a story of John the Baptist's parents, to which God would later take away her disgrace and would give her favor. So really, this is the story before the Christmas story. And tonight we're going to learn some lessons tonight, and pray that it might be a great encouragement for you tonight, as we even challenge you to be a model of Christmas faithfulness. Say to your neighbor, be a model of Christian faithfulness or Christmas faithfulness. First of all, we're going to talk about point number one, the righteousness of Christmas faithfulness. For it says in the text that they both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all that the Lord commands and decrees blameless. As we look at this model of Christmas faithfulness, this story before the story of the birth of Christ, we see two people who are an older couple, and this older couple was not able to give birth to a child, was not able to carry on the family lineage. But we see the one thing that we can learn from them is that they were righteous in the sight of God. And they observed all that God command and decree blamelessly. They observed some of God's commands. Hello, somebody. They observed most of all of God's commands. So we pose the question tonight, as we want to be a model of Christmas faithfulness, do you observe all of what God commands, or do you just pick and choose? Do you observe all of the little small commands in your own eyes, but maybe in the big commands of giving, I know that maybe you don't cuss and you don't smoke, but you're still having sex outside of marriage because you're not obeying all of God's commands. If you want to be a model of Christmas faithfulness, you've got to stop treating God as if he is the golden corral. Stop treating God as if he serves. Where you go and you pick and choose what you want to eat or what you want to taste. And you only pick and choose the cake of the faith. You only pick and choose the desserts of the faith. You only pick and choose that which is bad for your health. Hello, somebody. We're going to be a model of Christmas faithfulness. We've got to stop picking and choosing and decide that we want to go all the way with God, which means I'm going to go all the way and I'm going to obey him completely. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, I'm going to obey him completely. As we end this Christmas time and we get into this New Year's mind of thinking, into which we began to make New Year's resolutions, and we make all of these secular resolutions, why don't we resolve this year, this coming year, and 2012, that I'm going to obey God completely. I'm going to stop picking and choosing to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do everything that God calls and tells me to do. Can I get an amen? He said they both. That's another thing. Sometimes if you want to really live righteously, you've got to pick somebody who's living righteous like you are if you're going to live this Christian faith. Because many times Christians give their life to Jesus Christ and they try to still keep their old friends because they don't want to lose their old friends. But every time they go around their old friends bring them down. Every time, they go to that old boyfriend. They know you're a Christian now, but yet, he or she continues to get you to compromise because you are not willing to find somebody to go all the way with Jesus. This was a couple. This couple together decided that they were going to do everything that God told them to do. You know, sometimes it's hard for couples in the Christian walk, especially when one couple is on fire and the other one is not. Hello, somebody. It would appear that they are not equally yoked. They're not pulling their same weight in the faith. But it's a good thing, single folk, if you really want to serve the Lord, you got to find somebody that's willing to serve the Lord all the way. If you're going to couple up in Jesus' name, you've got to get somebody who is righteous in the sight of the Lord. You've got to get somebody who's observing all that God, the Lord, commands him. And many times in the Christian faith and in the single walk, folk will live for the Lord except everything except their sexuality. That's like money in relationships. You've heard me say many times, you want to see how much you love God? You look at how much you give. But when it comes to Christians, also, if you want to see how much they love God, see what they do with their sexuality. Hello, somebody. Because many times I read a book that says save single and having sex. No. It don't work that way, honey child. It don't work that way. You got to get some people who are willing to go all the way. And it says in this text that both of them were righteous in the sight of the Lord. Both of them observed all the Lord commanded and observed. Both of them were blameless. Blameless. Married couples, can you come together as a couple and be blameless before God? Singles, can you live blameless before God? Then if you're willing to make this commitment tonight, then you can be a model of Christmas faithfulness. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, walk in all the way. Walk in some of the way. Walk in part of the way. Walk in whatever way you want to walk. It says, walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. That the Lord has commanded, your Lord has commanded you. So that what?
You may live and prosper for long days
in the land. So that's a blessing in obedience, Christian folk. Many times we want to be blessed and highly favored, and we don't live blessed and highly favored. If you want to be blessed and highly favored, then you got to live blessed and highly favored. And you've got to walk in all the ways of the Lord and stop picking and choosing. Stop, you know what they call that? They call that, the old folk call that, straddling the fence. Hello, somebody. You know what God calls it? He calls it the worst thing that you can be, which is what? Lukewarm. Are you the kind of person that God wants to spit out? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I believe I heard a sermon titled, The Church That Make God Spit. Hello, somebody. That was that lukewarm church. God wanted to spew out. Are you that lukewarm believer that God wants to spew out? You don't have to be. You can make a decision right now, tonight, or during this holiday season, that you're going to decide to go all the way with God, and that you're going to obey God in all of his ways and not just part of his ways. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor. Is the preacher talking to you? Is the preacher talking to you? Or better yet, is God trying to tell you something? Do. You do it so that you may live and prosper. God wants to bless. He's laid this way out. I laid it out before you. You can go left and be cursed, or you can go right and be blessed. Doesn't take a rocket science just to know which way to go. Somebody said that you go up 35 and 30 miles, you're going to have a wreck and die. Or you decide to go down 77, 35 miles, and you're going to find a tub full of money. Which way would you choose? I'll be down that back way of 77. Be looking hard. Watching my gauge, okay, it's 34 and a half. Oh, 35. Me and Sissy Tom both jumping out, running, looking around. Where's that, Lord? You said I could be blessed, Lord. This is what God is saying to us tonight. walk in all the ways that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong the days in the land that you will possess. So he says you can be blessed, and you can be blessed for a long time. Hello, somebody. That's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. This is only given to the righteous. The righteousness of Christmas faithfulness. But then I wouldn't be right if I didn't tell you the whole story. Just because you are righteous doesn't mean that you won't have some problems in your life. Let me say that, because again, this difference between prosperity preaching is they tell you about the heads of the faith and not the tails of the faith. And they don't let you know that they're both connected. Hello, somebody. But in this text, though, this man and this woman had decided to go all the way with God, decided in New Testament terms to go all the way with Jesus. They went in God's smorgasbord and ate everything that God put on their plate and ended up with something rotten. The rottenness of Christmas faithfulness. For it says, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And they were both very old. Wait a minute, preacher, you just told me that if I go all the way with Jesus, everything is going to be all right. If I go all the way with Jesus, he'll fix it for me. If I go all the way with Jesus, he'll make everything all right. And I'm still saying that, but sometimes in our lives, it seems like things are not right. Hello, somebody. Sometimes in our life, David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David, you told us the truth, but David, why do I have to go through the valley in the first place? David, I don't want to go to no valleys. I don't want to go to no place where I walk through the shadow of death. David, why did you tell me the truth? The truth of the matter is that in all of our lives, no matter how righteous we are living, there's always a place that seems barren. Ooh. And let me say that again. There's always a place that seems barren. There's always a place in the marriage where it seems like God is not working. There's always a place, maybe in the church, where it seems like God is not working. There's always a place in our lives, in our bodies, where it seems like God is not working. There's always a drought going on somewhere in our lives. Hello, somebody. What we have to do in the valley times of our lives, what we have to do in the drought times of our lives, what we have to do in the down times, in the depressed times, in the sick times of our lives, is we still have to be faithful. Say to your neighbor, oh neighbor, you still have to be faithful. In Jesus' name. I know it's hard right now. I know it's a barren time. I know it seems like that God is not hearing your prayers. And you've been praying about this thing, and it seems like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and then coming back down. That's real life stuff that they don't tell you about on television. That's real life stuff. If we look, all of us can say this. You know, I love the Lord, but this area of my life, I'm unfruitful. I love the Lord, but in this area of life, I'm barren. I love the Lord, but I don't have any money in the bank account. I love the Lord, but I don't have a mate. I love the Lord, but I don't have any children. I love the Lord. But it seems like things just won't go or be right. I love the Lord, but I still get lonely and alone during Christmas times, and to which Christmas time is noted to be one of the most depressing times of life. He said, preacher, I thought it was the opposite. No, the suicide rate is higher during this time of the year, because many of you come from very good families and you look forward to going home and being with the family, and there's a whole nation of folk that comes from the Adams family and they don't have family to go to. Folks that were adopted, folks that don't have any ties, and this time of the year can be the worst time of all. And guess what? They still love the Lord. Hello, somebody. And it's barren. But in those barren times, if you really love the Lord, you've got to treat this time like you would treat a desert. A desert is not a place for you to go, where you go to stay. A desert is a place, if you have to go, you go through it. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. This may be a desert time in your life. It may be rotten that you're righteous, that you're blameless, that you love the Lord, but yet you still feel the way that you do. Oh, it's rotten. And sometimes in this Christian life, oh, you feel rotten, and you have to go through some rotten circumstances, some rotten tribulations, some rotten trials. But you still have to be like this dear couple. You have to be a model of Christmas faithfulness. Because even though they couldn't have a baby, Zechariah still served the Lord. He was a priest in the temple. And when it was time for him to go and to be on duty, he showed up. He didn't say, Lord, because you're not going to give me a baby, Lord, because you're not going to give me a lineage, Lord, I can't serve you because, Lord, you're not serving me. He couldn't say that. He was a priest, and he was faithful to his duties. And because he was faithful to his duties, we're going to see the next point. There are many people who have gone through this rotten time. Habakkuk in chapter 3, verse 18, shares a very descriptive picture of rotten times. And he tells us, though the fig tree does not bud and there's no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the field produce no food, though there is no sheep in the pens and no cattle in the stalls. He talks about this rotten time. Many of you know what it's like to have no cattle in the stalls because you've gone through a famine. Now you have no cattle in the stalls. Some of you may know what it's like not to have no food. One of the ways that I can tell that I'm in a pretty prosperous time is that you can find change all around the house. Because I remember a time in my life where that change, I had to count up that change to make it. Hello, somebody. Well, I had to roll the pennies to make it. I had to roll the quarters to make it. Well, some of you may never have had it that bad, have been lived through that kind of trial, but as long as there's some change in the house, I know I'm going through a pretty good time. Habakkuk says, they spent all the change. And this was a very rotten time in his life. One of the ways that you overcome the rotten times in your life is that you got to be faithful. Say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor,
call neighbor,
call neighbor.
You've got to be faithful,
in
rotten times.
Time.
Because to make a long story short, you got to go back and read this for yourself, Luke chapter 1. Zechariah was faithful to his charge as a priest, and though he had some rotten times, he served the Lord, and the first angel in the Christmas story, wasn't the angel that came to Mary. The first angel in the Christmas story was the angel that came to Zechariah, and he told him that he was going to be able to give birth to a son, and he told him that he would have a son, and anybody, can anybody tell me who his son would be? John who? John the Baptist, your namesake. Hello, somebody, because we're supposed to be Baptists up in here. Really, John the Baptizer. Hello, somebody. This older couple. Reminds you of the story of Abraham and Sarah, this older couple. So they didn't seem to be able to have a lineage at all, this older couple. This is where we get in verse 25. Where they get their testimony. It says, the Lord has done this for me, she said. Elizabeth, and these days he has what? Shown his favor and taken away my disgrace amongst the people. Favor began with righteousness. Favor worked its way through the rottenness of their life. And favor led to rejoicing. Favor led to rejoicing. He says, he's shown his favor and taken away my disgrace amongst the people. The rejoicing of the Christmas faithfulness. If you're faithful to God, even through rotten times, rotten situations, I will give you a money-back guarantee that God will show up somehow and show out somehow. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He'll do it. He'll do it. Say to your neighbor, neighbor.
For
neighbor. He'll do it for you. But you've got to learn to do what Habakkuk had to do, because even before God had changed the circumstances, he said what in verse 18? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk 3 verses 18. Even though things are not going right, even though I don't have a bank account, even though I don't have any cattle, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful. And the God my Savior. Then he goes on to say, the sovereign Lord is my strength. Hello, somebody came here tonight from a rotten situation, from a rotten time, and Habakkuk is telling you where you need to get your joy from. Habakkuk is telling you where you need to get your strength from. The sovereign Lord is my strength. And he make my feet like the feet of deer. And he enables me to tread on the heights. Somebody tonight needs to be a model of Christmas faithfulness. Regardless of the times that you're going through, you may say, preacher, I won't even have a Christmas this year. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because if you have Jesus, you have Christmas. Hello, somebody. Because it's not about the presents you get. It's not about the presents that you give. Hello, somebody. It's not about that tree. It's not about those beautiful lights. It's not about those beautiful children that wake up on Christmas morning and run to tear open the gifts out of the tree. Christmas is about Jesus. And Jesus is that gift. And Jesus doesn't have to come under a tree. Jesus come in your heart. Hello, somebody. And if you have Jesus this year, guess what? You have Christmas. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, if you have Jesus, you have Christmas. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. If you have Jesus, maybe God is limiting your finances because he wants you to stop giving away gifts that are temporal. He wants to give, wants you to give this gift that we've been praying about, which is the gift of salvation. Share with your family about Jesus. Be a model of Christmas faithfulness. Let your family, let your friends, oh, let your neighbors, let everybody who listen, everybody that will receive a text from you, let everybody know on Facebook, on Twitter, or however, or whatever your social medium is, let them know that Jesus is the reason for the season. Hello, somebody. And invite them to church this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock that they may come and get a real gift. Oh, maybe this year Bethlehem will be the tree that they can come and discover the gift of Jesus Christ. And I want you to encourage you to be a model of this Christmas faithfulness. First of all, you have to be righteous. Second of all, you have to be faithful even through the rotten times. After you're faithful through the rotten times, oh, God is going to enable you to rejoice in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for tonight's lesson. Thank you, Lord. It wasn't the night or the time that Saint Nick visited. It is the story of Jesus Christ coming to the earth. Tonight we got to see the forebearers of John the Baptist, who would be the one who would point the way to Jesus. We've got to see his parents, and we learn from his parents tonight, Father. We learn, Father, that we must be faithful. We learn, Father, that we need to be around other people who are faithful. That we need to join teams with people who are faithful. And we learn, Father, that we've got to do everything that you tell us to do, everything that's in the book, all the decrees, everything. We learn, Father, that even in good people's lives, because many times people like to ask the question, why does bad things happen to good people? Oh, and the question should be, or the example should be, is that good people who love the Lord are faithful when bad things happen. And they make it through the bad times and they will rejoice when the Lord finally delivers. So Father, help us to make it through some of our rotten times, Father. Yes. That we may be able to rejoice one day. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. Father, we continue to pray for those that are in the box, Father. This is the true Christmas, Father. The true Christmas story, Father. And we continue to pray, Father, that you convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that they may be saved and come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father. In Jesus' name, that they may experience a true Christmas morn. Instead of a tree, they go to the cross and open the gift. In Jesus' name. Father God, we come praying, Lord, for not only those that are in the box, Father, but those that are seated in the sanctuary that may be going through rotten times, though they are righteous people, Father. We pray, Father, that you will encourage their hearts, encourage their minds, that you will enable them, give them the strength, the power to make it through such a time as this, Father, that they may glorify you, Father, even in rotten times, Lord. And we pray, Father, that everyone would leave here tonight ready to rejoice. Father, to rejoice because you will move. Or an example of Habakkuk, we just rejoice because you are you, Father. As we leave here tonight, we pray, Lord, that you would put the joy in our hearts. Peace in our minds, Father. To know, Lord, that you're going to take care of everything that we're concerned about tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord. We believe by faith and come together as a Christian body, touching in and believing, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that you will enable us to leave this place rejoicing over you, that we might go and make an impact amongst our family and our friends, and that we will tell them that Jesus is the reason for the season, Father. That we tell them about Jesus, the Savior, in Jesus' name. And not only do we tell them, Father, but we ask him, Father, to join us this Sunday. To come experience a Christmas service. Come experience the true meaning of Christmas. In Jesus' name. Father God, we come today, Lord, rejoicing, Father, on how we're going to experience this Christmas, Father, because at this time, Father, we have four candidates for baptism that's ready to be baptized this Christmas morning. So, Father, we rejoice. And what you're doing in the life of this church. We
Hello again,
rejoice,
this is Pastor Michael
Lord,
Eton.
And what
I
you're
your
doing,
for
Father,
today's
to help us
program.
To truly
and
celebrate
before we
Christmas.
Sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God.
Jesus.
You know, many people are waiting to have
Father,
a personal relationship
him,
with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life and get right with
Amen.
God, stop smoking, cursing
Praise
before they come to the house
we're
of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms. terms and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love, believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. Thank you for and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley
state-of-the-art build
a reality
because you've taken time to give 25, 50, 10, 100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Definitely.